booked today at $25 an hour, and because of this change in policy, you have zero diamonds booked at $25 an hour. I don't see how that helps the municipality at all.
But you'd understand that, you know, as much as we get that teams will be integrated, you understand that, you know, I think we would be adverse to teams made up of 100 or 99% residents from other municipalities. We would believe that they should be in diamonds in their municipalities, correct?
Sure. Yeah.
All right, not wholehearted there.
I guess the question
fair,
is,
fair enough.
There are lots of municipalities in Ontario. I have yet to find one that has a percentage limit on the use of their diamonds.
Fair enough.
So it is out-of-the-box thinking, so congratulations on that, but that doesn't mean it's a good idea.
Well, thank you for joining us.
Okay, thank you.
So the next delegate is Ken Rowe, and Mr. Rowe is speaking to the on-farm diversified uses. Mr. Rowe, welcome.
Thank you, Mayor Foster, and council, staff. I'm here speaking on behalf of citizens concerned with on-farm diversified uses, in particular, the motion made at the General Governance meeting held last Monday on April 1st. That motion read as follows: that staff, working in consultation with all stakeholders, report back to a committee meeting in June 2019 with a report outlining a permitting scheme to regulate wedding venues, having regard to other jurisdictions where such a permitting scheme is in operation, and that the delegation of Beth Mazzaros regarding suggestions for on-farm diversified uses, agritourism, and special events be referred to staff to report back. This motion was put forward by Councillor Trail, seconded by Councillor Zwart, and it does not reflect the full concerns of the community. The motion needs to include rural special events. The municipality has in place bylaws for special events with 500 plus participants. This could easily be extended to include events consisting of, say, 50 to 500 participants. It should be noted that this request is not specific, but for clarification of requirements, bylaws, and regulations for all venues in Clarington. Also, last week there was a concern by councillors at the General Governance Committee meeting that existing businesses may be affected by this motion. That is not the intent of this community.
Sir, thank you. Councillor Trail.
Thank you, and through the mayor, thank you very much for coming. So as you saw, we've revised the motion earlier, and I just wanna ask you, the fact that we have, well, first of all, is it your understanding that the intent of the permitting scheme is to fill the gaps that are essentially left from our land use planning tools? Is that your understanding?
Yes.
Okay. So with respect to the revised motion that will be brought forward, does this not then achieve what the residents are looking for and what we're looking for on council as well, which is regulating agritourism venues without reference specifically to wedding? Does that not encapsulate what is being sought, in your opinion?
It could, but...
Thank you.
Is that it?
So, without the word wedding, through the mayor to you, is this not the same thing? I'm struggling with why we need to specifically refer to the terminology used in the bylaw, mostly because I think that might be confusing. And secondly, it's our understanding, and you know, do you agree that what we're looking at doing is coming up with a brand new permitting scheme, and that this is a scheme that's going to address agricultural agritourism venues, whether they're holding weddings or you know bachelor parties or pig roasts? Does this not, in your opinion, meet the objectives?
Yeah, I could, as long as everybody's on the same page and they don't leave a lot of gray areas in some of the regulations and you know the rules and regulations that eventually end up being
okay
adopted, because we just think that if you can, we're not lawyers, but we think that if you could get at the outset of this exercise that we're starting to do here, we could lay out, you know, be as specific as we need to be, then you can, you know, through discussion, through consultation, maybe you can change the, you know, everybody kind of come to accept something like this. But in the meantime, like, we got to know, we got to start and try to fill in those gaps right from the start.
Okay.
And then work with that from there.
So, through the mayor, are you a rural landowner?
Yeah, so I live on Pollard Road in Ward 4.
Okay, so then presumably then that would make you a stakeholder, and are you interested in participating as part of this consultation process?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, great, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Councillor. Do we have anything further? Councillor Neal.
So through the chair, so you mentioned Pollard, so that brought something to mind. So if for example, a daylily agritourism venue was rezoned, okay, mm-hmm. Under this, are you saying that every day they were open, they'd have to get a permit under this regime?
The reason why we thought about permitting, being permits, and...
Sir, Mr. Rowe, could you raise the mic up?
The reason we thought about permitting, getting permits and stuff is that one of the problems with these agritourism things, it seems like it's the neighbors that have to do the monitoring and the enforcement.
Okay, what I'm just trying to explore a little bit is, through the chair, is, you know, once you start talking about all events, I mean, I'm just saying that, so if something is legally zoned for some type of public attendance, I just use as a daylily example because that's something that was at least under discussion for a while.
Right.
Would that mean that, you know, if they were going to have more than 50 or 100 people or whatever, they have to get a permit like every day?
Like I say, possibly. It's just
saying that. Wouldn't
for us, it's just a means of getting the town, for lack of a better word, to do the enforcement and monitoring and making sure that they're keeping up their standards.
That would be so onerous from a staff time and
yeah.
And would.
Yeah.
So what about say I've been to like a barbecue at a farm, you know, put on by the Cattlemen's Association mm-hmm. or something like that. Like they have 100 people there.
Yeah.
Or 150 people. Does
yeah.
that need a permit then? Through the chair.
Yeah, I think so because of the.
But know, that would upset a lot of.
To 50 to 500, cover that 50 to 500. There's nothing we know on the bylaws. It's all special events, 500 people and over.
There's nothing
in between or nothing below that.
But for example, if you're saying drag through the chair, pull down all the rules from our events over 500 people, that would make that like you couldn't do it, you know, for like a cattleman's barbecue or something like that. It wouldn't work, you know. So I'm just saying, you know, we'd have to be very careful with what we put in place because we could upset a lot of agricultural people at the same time, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I thought this whole exercise was going to try to work
okay.
out. But.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Great. Do you have anything further? Councillor Anderson.
Just to follow up, yeah, further to Councillor Neal's point, when we have bureaucracy and red tape, then that, I don't think that's the answer. We have rules in place right now. Bylaw, noise bylaw, we can put, you're not allowed to park on the streets if it's going to be cars, congestion, or traffic. So why is that not enough? That's what I'm trying to, you know, we're trying to build a community, yes, and we're trying to get businesses and people, attract people to this community. When you do that, you're restricting all of that and all
Councilor,
of that
Councillor, you've
growth.
Got a question for the delegate
so
that he can answer, right?
Wouldn't it be, if we strengthen what we have in place right now, wouldn't that, why is that not sufficient? That's what I'm trying to get at.
If it's strengthened and the rules are fair to everyone and that the decision makers, the applicants, the people that whose lives are affected, the opponents to that, if that's fair, and if there's some kind of enforcement and regulation of these things, like if they get their, you know, it shouldn't be up to the the locals to police these things.
No,
and that's why we were thinking of permits and or licenses or something like that, to put the onus back on watching how these things are operated, but number-wise or health and safety-wise or whatever, not on the citizens, but on the system, on the law.
So through the chair, we just need to strengthen the what's there then, and that's sufficient. That would be satisfactory to you.
That's the main thing to do.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Hooper.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thanks, Mr. Roper, coming forward tonight. In regards to, I think, elaborate a little bit on Councillor Neal's comments in regards to, for example, the Dairy Farmers Association, whatever, has a barbecue or a demonstration. Have you and your group or the group sort of consulted with any of the ag? I know there's some people that probably sit, and discuss, but have they run any of this by some of the members of the ag society to see if they're, if they're in agreement with it, with what you're trying to do as far as?
I'm not aware if they have.
Okay, I'm just trying to get some ideas. Because you don't want to, squash them, like as Councillor Anderson said, give them so many rules and regulations that they can't do anything as far as, I don't think that's what the group means. And I think it's just more of a, so that you're not the police of the events that are going on in some of the venues.
Yeah, and I think the bottom line is that that's not really a commercial business, that's running something 50 or 100 times a summer. It's a once in a thing. It's a special event, dairy farmers get together,
yep,
or whatever.
Okay.
Our concern is that when it's a business, it's commercial, what's going to stop them from, like you say, someone said, family reunions, motorcycle clubs coming in, somebody, the owner of the place wanting to have concerts there every couple of weeks to make, a living on this.
That's what you're trying to sort of eliminate.
Right. That has to be regulated.
Right.
Because it's got this basis in agriculture and these gray areas.
Mr. Roken, really, you've got a bit of a soft voice. I wonder if you can really speak into the mic.
Okay,
it is difficult to hear.
I'm sorry. That's the concern. The biggest concern, the rules that are there now, it's based on agriculture. Sometimes it's a bit of these gray areas allow for like loopholes. Okay. They allow for loopholes or people to, kind of bend the rules enough to, get these things in there. And it's very disruptive and there's lots of issues that are developed from that, like a lot of cost for the applicants, for the town, meetings like this, the planners. And that's it. That's what we're trying to get, is strengthen up some definite rules, definite guidelines that everyone can live with, and that the guidelines don't have holes in them that allow either side to take advantage and, abuse the setup.
Thank you. Thanks for that explanation. Okay. Appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, do we have anything further? So, Mr. Rowe, you were simply concerned that with wetting it was too narrow, and the amendment coming forward is broadening that, so that's one thing. And you were worried about the number 500, and beyond that, you're simply looking for the rules that are coming back, correct, or at least the proposals?
Mm-hmm.
Great. So, you had a bit of a rough time here tonight, but we do appreciate you coming. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, and the next delegate is Nicholas Van Segelen, and Mr. Van Segelen is speaking about the flooding in Kendal as well. Mr. Van Segelen, welcome.
Good thought there. So I was actually coming here to address the flooding in Kendal myself, and kind of representing the other residents about their concerns. And then while I was sitting there, I kind of felt like I was had to come up here now and kind of defend myself, I guess, because I'm the person that actually owns 14 Hoy Street. And I guess the question I want to say is there's kind of a perception from one person's side, and there's a perception from another person's side, and then there's the truth.
So you need not. As a matter of fact, we'd prefer that you didn't get into that.
Yeah.
So will take everything until we hear back.
That's fine.
Please don't feel the need to defend yourself.
No. And I guess I've already, so I just want you to know, as the actual homeowner, I have actually called the works department prior to any grading that was done on our property. And I had asked somebody from that organization to come out and have a look. And I have been in contact with, is it Mr. Clint Peters, who is now representing that side of it. I think there was a previous gentleman before that we talked to that I think he took over from just recently here within whatever the last year. So basically we asked them to come out there. We said we have an issue ourselves where there is water all in the front yard in the one corner south, I guess you would call it north east corner. And we wanted them to come out here to basically have a look and tell us what could we do to do proper grading. And so when we were doing the grading, he basically said, listen, there, you know, you're not allowed to put any curbs there or anything like that, or disrupt any other portion of whatever is there. So I just want you to know that Mr. Peters has pictures of the house before any grading was done. The water issue that, you know, is being brought up by the neighbor, I totally appreciate, you know, his situation. I think there isn't anybody in Kendall right now that isn't having an issue with that. If you stand on the middle of the actual intersection there, the road is high. It doesn't matter where that water is coming from. It's going to go this way, and to everybody's property, including, you know, Mr. on to Monk Street. So I know that I've also talked to Granville Anderson to come out and address this with us. We're not running away from the situation. We're not trying to create a cause or any issue with anybody in Kendall or with the town of Clarington. We actually are trying to work with everybody there to try and figure out what do we need to do to solve the problem so that it's rectified for anybody. One of the conversations that we had with Mr. Peters was that he was going to possibly have to look at putting a swale in there. I will tell you there was never a swale there. The ground itself was low all through the property. As far as our driveway is concerned, we put a three-car driveway in and we graded it from the driveway to the road. We haven't really impeded anything. I got pictures that I can show you that even the rain today, it didn't change anything. It stays the same normal the way it, and I actually got pictures of, there actually was never even an official driveway. It was like grass with a bit of gravel going into the original house. So anyways, I just wanted to address that part of it, and so that, you know, if anybody has any concerns, we're not running away. We've been in contact with Mr. Anderson. We've been in contact with Mr. Peters. And we are actually trying to solve this whole thing with the town in regards to how do we rectify the problem. If there is an issue that they're saying we have created on our property, which I don't believe we have, but if there is, then we're willing to deal with whatever it is they need to do there. So. And again, like I said, my biggest thing was to support, you know, the water issue, because it's not just, you know, it's coming right across from that Kendall. It's coming right down through that road across. It's everywhere. I mean, the house on the corner where we are had like 5 feet of water in it. So coming across backyards that are farther to the south of us. So anyways, that's really all I really wanted to say. So if there's any questions.
Mr. Van Sagelen, thank you. Members of council, do we have questions? Councillor Neal.
Sorry, through the chair. Sir, your address again is 14 Monk?
Yeah, 14 Hoy.
Hoy, okay.
Hoy, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, so.
Okay, anything further? Seeing nothing further, sir, thank you for joining us tonight.
Okay, you're welcome.
All right, so our last delegate is Udana Muldoon, and Udana's with the Clarington Ravens. Welcome.
I was wondering if I had to climb up here. Thank you for hearing me. I won't echo too much of what Howie has already said, or Mr. Bain. We're concerned about the residency rate as well. Because we're a rep team, we have a specialized group of people that we bring to our team. We've been in existence for 2 years, so we are the first girls rep softball team that has been in Clarington.
Ms. Muldoon, do you want to hold off for just a second? And the stairs give you a hint as to how old the building is.
There's a lot of them.
All right, I think it's safe.
So I'm concerned with the 75%. When I was talking with the staff members when they did the consultation, which they actually did a really good job, I would like for that to be noted. We were concerned with the 75% because that might not be possible sometimes. So we don't have the luxury of baseball or hockey where there's residency requirements to be able to support the team. So we can actually, you can play for any provincial team across the province. So by putting the 75%, it limits the Clarington Ravens to be able to play if that's possible. So we started with one team last year and now we're up to three teams. And we actually this year meet the residency requirements, but that might not be the case every year. So I think that it's short-sighted to sort of put it at the 75%. That being said, if the 75% is passed, we're with Howie that we agree that the 2010 is pretty arbitrary because usually when you grandparent a rule, it's from this day forward. So that means that we're at the table. By putting it at 2010, we're not at the table anymore. So we're, like I said, we're the only girls rep softball team in Clarington. We're actually hosting provincials this year, so we're actually bringing 200 unique players to Clarington. And we've been honored to have Clarington Fields to host that. So that in itself is pretty phenomenal considering we're only second year in. As it stands now, and I understand why policies need to be put in, because the lack of policies last year actually pitted groups against each other, where I had to sort of ask people if I could have the diamonds, and they actually were giving me permission or not permission to have those diamonds. The person said no of the organization because they wanted to look out for their own interests, of course, just like I would. But then I had to write a letter to all of you folks saying, this is not okay, and we're pitting each other against. And that's why I think policies are really important, because it governs staff, and it doesn't put staff in a position to sort of make discretionary decisions on those. I'm really concerned with the grandfathering of 2010, because at this point, what it does is the three newest teams, it doesn't even consider us. So what I've sort of looked at all the user groups, every single one is taken care of in this non-residency at 2010, except for us. So I understand that some people aren't so happy that we're here because we're taking people's diamonds, but it shouldn't have to be that way. It should be. So I think we're putting a Band-Aid on a really big solution, like Howie said, that we're not looking at the supply, we're decreasing the demand, right? So we need to be sort of taking a look at a bigger picture of, because there's really great spaces across Clarington that are not usable, right? So I don't know how much a diamond costs to dig up, but there's some really great spaces. Like Penfound's a great space, but you can't play on it, you're gonna get hurt, particularly in rep. Girls are sliding, and for the Renegades and the Outlaws as well, they're sliding. So if we're sort of adopting the user fees last year, we technically can go after Clarington Fields and sort of bump somebody out, but you never want to be put in that position that you're bumping somebody out, because adults being active is just as important as youth. Of course, I think youth is more important at this point, but you don't want to put in a position where you're bumping somebody out, right? So I just think that we're stifling growth if we're putting these rules in place at this point.
Right. Well, thank you for joining us. Councillor Anderson.
Thank you for coming forward, and I do understand you have a rep team. You're not going to get our Clarendon. There shouldn't be a quota. And you want the best players, and these are folks coming in that's going to shop at our businesses and build our community. Folks come to our community to watch these games. So I'm totally in agreement with you, and I do understand that running a rep team, you cannot have, you're going to have the best player, and Clarendon residents are going to get priority. So
And we don't have the first right to refusal like baseball, right? So baseball has first right to refusals where if you live in Clarington, you have to go to your home organization first. So.
Right. So So understood. So as the mayor said, we're going to revisit that somehow. Thank you.
Councillor Hooper.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. And thank you for coming forward tonight. Regards, you said that your league or your team has only been in existence for 2 years?
We're in our second year as an organization. So we started with one team and now we're up to three.
And that's in Clarington?
In Clarington, yeah.
So was it in another municipality before this, or is this?
No, we started it. Teresa Gamble and I had started it in 2017 because we know all of these girls were. All of these Clarington girls were playing elsewhere. Like my daughter played for Port Perry, Teresa's daughter played for Oshawa, and we said, we saw a gap in service, and so we said, why are we doing this? Why are we sending all of these Clarington girls playing elsewhere? So we started it from the ground up. It was a whole lot of work, but it was really worth it.
And as I asked the gentleman that came forward earlier, what do you think would be a good, like residential, or do you not think that there should be one at all? Because I know when I played ball and hockey and all that. Yeah. There was a sort of a quiet residential fee that, or in the background that was always there sort of thing, but whether anybody adhered to it was another story.
That's a great point, because when we talked to sort of other municipalities, it was kind of the, I don't know if I know the answer, but I can appreciate being a Clarington resident. I want, as a Clarington resident, to have rights over someone coming to visit and sort of shop at Diamonds. So I don't know if I know that answer, but I can appreciate why the majority was put in there, right? But I just think it, because of that and sort of the way it unfolded, it really shut the door on any new teams.
And one further question. In regards to, has there always been like user fee meetings and things like that, that where the users sit down and discuss, you know, opportunities, where can we improve, or what, and then again, what the fee structure will be for the next year coming, and things like that. And so you know going in what the fee and diamond availability is going to be before the season
so
starts?
So usually there's a fall user meeting and then a spring one. So a fall is kind of like a close off on the season, what we did well, the feedback, and then the spring is what is coming forward. So that's been my experience.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Anything further? Councillor Jones.
And through the chair, thank you very much for coming tonight. And so for the grandfathered fees, would you prefer to see that removed altogether, or would you prefer to see it grandfathered starting at 2018?
I think it should be removed because I think that there's a really great opportunity for young people to grow. So I would like to see it removed, but I think that if it is being adopted, I think it's a go-forth basis, right? So because our organization, the Renegades of the Outlaws, are at the table right now. So we're retroactively going back to change a rule that we don't even get to talk about or be a participant in.
All right, anything further? I see nothing further. Thank you ever so much for joining us this evening. So that is the end of the delegations portion, members of council. We could take a break or we could just motor on through. Councillor Neal?
Motion for 5 minute break.
5 minute break, seconded by Councillor Traill. All in support, deposed, that is carried. Thank you. To order, please. So we have no communications for information. We've got two items, communications for direction. The first is 9.1. Mr. Rowe, Councillor Anderson, you have that, I believe.
Sorry, Councillor Hooper. That correspondence item 9.1 be approved as per the agenda.
Okay, so that's referred to consideration of item 3 of the planning and development?
Yes.
Perfect. Questions or comments on that? Call the question. All in support? opposed. That is carried. Thank you. And Councillor Anderson, you're up again on 9.2. That is Paul and Kathy Powers.
Forgetting to turn that on. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Hooper, that correspondence item 9.2 be approved as per the agenda.
Okay, and that's referring it to PSD-018-019 and PSD-021-19, correct?
Correct.
All right. Questions, comments? Councillor Neal.
Yeah, just the one comment I wanted to make, or question, I guess, but through you, Mr. Chair, but as far as I'm aware, it's part of our official plan that where there's some sort of Planning Act application and the property has, you know, valley lands on it, that we seek a dedication of those valley lands. That's part of our standard official plan. Just want to get that, I guess, on the record.
Okay, so just on the record that we're looking for land dedication, right?
Right. Well, it's referred to in the letter that.
Okay, are
we shouldn't do that, but I mean that's my understanding.
Looking for Mr. Seaman to respond, or.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I don't have the exact section, but it is part of our official plan, and typically part of most municipalities' official plans with respect to planning and development under the Planning Act and dedication of valley lands, lakefront, all those sorts of things for public benefit.
Okay, thank you.
So I think that's a noted. Anything further on that? Call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Thank you very much. Councillor Jones. Sorry, Councillor Zwart, you've got the committee reports. So items 10.1.1 to 10.1.6.
Be approved.
All right.
Seconded by Councillor Trail.
Perfect. Do we have any polls? Councillor Hooper.
I'd just like to just make a couple of brief comments on 10.1.2 and 10.1.6.
Okay, so that's the Affordable Housing and Diversity Advisory Committee?
That's correct.
Right on the balance. Call the question. All in support? Opposed? That's carried. Councillor Hooper, give me a motion on 10.1.2, please.
Receive for information.
Okay, seconded by Councillor Anderson. You made eye contact. Thank you.
No, I just wanted to make a comment in regards to the Affordable Housing Task Force minutes. That committee is a great committee to sit on. We had, as you read in the report, a fellow come through and was very interested in some brownfield developments, and some members of the task force have visited a place where he's already the person who was mentioned in the report. We traveled up to Arroyo and went through some of his holdings that he has up there, and we're very impressed with what we saw, and hopefully the gentleman will be able to negotiate some sort of, not mentioning any names, with some brownfield developments in Clarington. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. And the motion received was to receive as written.
That's true. Sorry.
Perfect. Thank you, sir. Okay, so the clerk is suggesting she'd prefer that we had be approved, which I'm guessing is exactly what you intended.
I thought that's what I said.
Thank you. Do we have anything further on that? Call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. And the next is 10.1.6, the Diversity Advisory Committee. Councillor.
Yeah, it's just a comment in regards to this. We're moving along quite well with that committee. When it was formed, I don't think staff realized quite an onerous task that it was going to be. It's not about hosting an event with the diversity, you know, saying you're hosting the event and like Canada or something like that. This is very in depth, and I think this has to be driven from the top down, and it's almost to the point where it's like the accessibility committee. And we're sort of at that point now where this has to be something that has to be adopted and has to be, you know, we have to have a lot of sort of massaging and training with that. And I'd just like to say that the last meeting we had, we worked on the Indigenous statement and vision and strat plan sort of moved through. And we're making our way through it slowly, but it'll be, when it comes out, it'll be something that'll be, I'm sure everybody will be pleased with it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Any questions about that? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Thank you. So we are into the GG committee report. Councillor Jones, you have that, I believe?
I do. That the recommendations contained in the General Government Committee report of March 25th, 2019 be approved on consent.
All right. And do we have any polls? Councillor Neal. Oh, sorry. Yeah, that was Councillor Hooper seconded that, correct?
Did you second that?
Oh, did I?
I don't.
Whose name?
Councillor Neal.
Yeah, 1F and 2.
Okay, so 1F is the commodity hedging, and 2 is the update from Sheila Hall from the Board of Trade and Economic Development. Is that correct?
Right, and I'll also pull number 11. Just, I have some questions on it.
And 11 is the flooding. All right, so we've got 1F, 2, and 11. Anything further? Call the question on the balance. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. 1F, Councillor Neal.
Yeah, this may have been answered but I already by email, but I just thought I'd just, so I think Anita, I was asking about the annual commodity hedging. So I guess I'm moving to receive for information. Then.
Perfect. Thank you. Seconded by Councillor Jouart. Councillor Trail. Councillor Jouart, thank you.
So again, I apologize if this was answered by email, but are we in the black or in the red?
Mr. Pitt?
Saying the last year. Through you, Mr. Chair.
Sorry, through the chair. Overall, since we've been doing this, we are in the black. We have been able to pull money out of the pool over the last couple years that we've put in. Ms. Carr and I have been, or will be, reaching out to our provider to try and get some more information to some of the questions that Councillor Neal had asked at GGC, and we are also thinking of maybe inviting him to a presentation to give Council a little bit more information on that process. The commodity hedging for natural gas is different than some other hedging processes because natural gas is a rate-regulated industry as opposed to doing, you know, typical hedging that a normal individual might do. So we had thought that it might be beneficial to have the consultant come in and provide some more detailed information to Council.
So through the chair, when you say the pool, does that mean like our we have like a float with the commodity broker or whatever they are? Is that when you refer to a pool?
That's my understanding, yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll look forward to getting further information on that. So.
All right.
I know you can lose money on these things as well. Like, it's not risk-free, right? I've seen them in other places where you were on the wrong end of the settlement, that's all. So anyway, I'll watch for that. Thank you.
I'll tell you about losing money on these things one day, Councillor. Anything further? Call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Item 2.
So I'll move as written, just with one addition, Mr. Chair, and that is that the issue of how Council is advised of Clarington Board of Trade initiatives be referred back to the CAO to report back to General Government. If I can get a seconder.
Thank you, Councillor. Go ahead.
I don't have the contract in front of me, but I believe the contract between CBOT and the municipality sets out the means by which CBOT informs Council, and that's, I believe, quarterly reports. So that's why Ms. Hall and I guess Bonnie was here as well.
come and make the presentation to council.
So I guess what I'm looking for is something over and above that. So, like, as I said, I'm a regional councillor. I actually sit on the Planning and Economic Development Committee, which I guess, you know, sounds impressive, right? But, you know, some things I hear about that are happening on the council floor as opposed to, you know, so the question that occurs to me is, shouldn't I be kept abreast of these things that are ongoing and be trusted to not, you know, put something on Facebook, you know, like, that's all. So that's the challenge I see. So, and I'm not Kreskin, so I don't know to call up somebody and say, okay, maybe it's a good time to go for a coffee, you can tell me what's going on, that's all. Like, so that's the challenge I see. So that's why I know that you'll come up with something that we'll all say, that's a great idea.
Through the chair, I have no problems providing more frequent updates from the CAO's office. I am the municipal liaison to the Board of Trade, so I do my best to make it to all of their board meetings, and I can certainly share with council the information that I obtain through those board meetings. One of the challenges, councilor, is some of the information that they have, they can't share. Some is confidential, but to the extent that information can be shared, I'll take it upon myself to do that.
I was hoping for some sort of report as to how that could happen, that's all. I
can take it as direction to provide monthly updates, if that suffices. If that's sufficient, that would...
So why don't we try that and then see how that works? I'm
more than happy to do that.
Okay, so I'll withdraw the motion. We'll see how that maybe plays out. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Edwin. Councillor, it comes up every now and again, but sometimes if a request for confidentiality is there, you know, we have to honor it. There have been, I'm going to suggest a couple of files. Oddly, a lot of business people don't believe that politicians will keep a secret. I know it's a shock, but there are, just one second, there are, it's not unusual that I am brought in quite late in some of the processes, but where, if you can imagine a client of yours, I guess it's a little bit different in your profession, requesting it, but there is stuff that they simply can't share.
To you, Mr. Chair, I think that's the nub of the issue here. You know, like, for example, there's been confidential information which we have undertaken to keep confidential by way of a written agreement, right? So I'm certainly prepared to sign that at any time if that's... But I see the issue being I'm supposed to be one of seven, right, councillors, and one of our key objectives is economic development, but I feel like I'm at the bottom of the food chain as far as finding things out that are going on. So, right, I hear at the same time the rest of the public hears. I don't think that's going to work. So that's all. I see some frowns, but...
Well, like, I think so.
I don't think I'm exaggerating, Mr. Chair.
So, Mr. Allison, you're not wrong, but in some cases, an NDA isn't going to cut it. And you, in some cases, you will scare business away, which we don't want to do. But Mr. Allison apparently has some thoughts on that. So let's have that chat and see if we can figure it out.
I'll take it as direction to provide more frequent updates, monthly updates to council to the extent that I'm able. There are some people that come and do business through the Board of Trade. They'll get NDAs from specific individuals at the Board of Trade, and they won't let board members or people like myself sign NDAs to get information. So extending it further to council, I suspect, might be an even further ask. But I have no problems sharing the information because I think it's an integral function of the municipality to support economic development. So I will do my best to keep every councillor apprised of all the developments that I can.
So I've withdrawn that referral part for the time being.
Right, so the motion as written?
Yep.
Seconded by Councillor Hooper. Anything further? Call the question, all in support. Opposed, that is carried. Thank you. And item 11, this was the flooding issue, Councillor Neal.
Yeah, I'm pulled that somebody else can move it. I just have some questions. If Councillor Zwart or Councillor Anderson want to move it.
Right, so moved as written. Councillor Neal?
Yeah, I think Councillor Anderson was moving it.
So I've got Councillor Anderson and Councillor Zwart. Yep.
Okay, so my question is there not a specific act that deals with drainage and things like that, like the Drainage Act? And how does that, through the chair, how does that play into these situations? So,
Mr. McIver?
Through you, Mr. Chair, there is a Drainage Act. My recollection of that act is that it deals exclusively with agricultural drains, but I'd stand to be corrected. I could look into that. I might be able to do that right now.
Mr. McIver, Mr. Allison has some thoughts.
Drainage is the bane of many municipalities' existence, and I believe probably 3 or 4 years ago, Mr. Kinnala, we had a report that came through engineering that dealt with some drainage issues, and it defined a role for us to take. As a municipality, we do not have a drainage bylaw. Some municipalities do, actually very few do. So in the main, when you're looking at drainage, they are private issues. There's a lot of common law principles that would apply. My recollection is that there was a policy adopted by council probably 4 or 5 years ago when it comes to drainage issues and the role the municipality would play in it, but I can't recall the specifics of it. Mr. Cannell?
My recollection isn't even that good. I don't recall.
So I think you said, Mr. Cannell, it was hard to hear that your recollection isn't even that good? Is that what I heard? Okay.
Through the chair, I'm reflecting back on a couple of issues that we had that involved Ms. Benson. She was repeatedly being asked to look into issues, where there are drainage issues between property owners. And I also have experience prior to coming here where you have a lot of private issues. Sometimes you go back in history and you see that people have altered the grades of their property 34 years prior to the drainage issue surfacing. And the expectation is the municipality will have records that will indicate exactly what the elevations were supposed to be. It's a very complicated issue, but I think with respect, Councillor, if you were given the opportunity, we could report back, and I think you've already directed staff to report back on the specific issue, and in that context, we can tell you what the policy is of the municipality. I'm pretty sure we have a municipal position that basically says we'll help with issues that are, by and large, common law, private nuisance issues, but I stand to be corrected. My memory isn't. Maybe it's better than Mr. Canella's, but it might not be. I'm not sure.
To the chair, though, under the Drainage Act, though, if it does apply in this situation, isn't it like a local improvement type of situation where, you know, a drainage works can be constructed that benefits a number of properties, and the cost of that can be apportioned out and so on? I
mean, that's correct. It's like a local improvement where you can actually petition as a homeowner to have the works done. But right. I think what was talked about to here would be issues of nuisance, private common law tort of nuisance that would relate directly to the specific issue of drainage. Common law tort law, you can't actually change your grade of your property, do anything with a natural water course if it increases the speed or the volume of water that's leaving your property and impairs your neighbor's ability to use and enjoy their property. That's the common law tort of nuisance as it applies to drainage. So we would have to look into that. As you know, Mr. Ward suggested there was a problem there. I don't believe that the municipality has a drainage bylaw that is used for enforcement purposes in these circumstances.
But through the chair, should the report that's coming back perhaps not address the issue of the Drainage Act? That's all, like, because
100% it should. Yes.
Okay. Thank you,
Councillor Anderson.
My understanding is that the issue goes beyond those two individuals. That just come to a head. If we solve the overall drainage problem, that would probably alleviate that issue that those two individuals face, or Mr. Ward. So I think it's an overall problem. So if we divert the water somehow, whether it's culvert or ditches, I think that would have that would take care of that problem anyhow. That's my understanding from my discussion with the residents in Kendall.
Thank you, Councillor. Anything further? All right, call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Thank you. This puts us on to the Planning and Development Committee. Councillor Neal.
Yeah, so moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Trail, that the recommendations contained in the Planning and Development Committee report of April 1, 2019 be approved on consent, and I was going to pull number 8.
Okay, so number 8 is the interim control bylaw in 10 Victoria Street, and Councillor Zwart, we have noted your conflict on that. Beyond item 8, are there any other polls? Councillor Trail?
I think I need to pull number 3 in order to bring forward the alternate motion. I'll confirm with the CAO.
Yep. Okay, so we've got 8 and 3. Anything else? Call the question on the balance. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Item 8, Councillor Neal and Councillor Zwart, thank you.
So I'm going to move that that be received for information. Number 8.
Okay, so when you say receive for information, you would delete that the that the property be exempted?
Correct.
Okay, do we have a seconder on that? Councillor Jones, thank you. Councillor Neal.
So through the chair, to Mr. Seaman, has there been any further communication with the individual that was appeared on the last occasion here with the planning department?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, apart from discussion immediately after the meeting that evening, there has been none.
I see. Okay. So I guess in my mind, we should be sticking with our policy and not extending this to the exempt list. The exempt list was supposed to deal with, as far as I understand, properties that were under some sort of application at the time the interim control bylaw was passed. So that certainly isn't the case with this last go around here. So that's my thoughts on that. Thank you.
Okay. Do you have anything further? Councillor Hooper.
Yes, if I can, through the chair, to Mr. Seaman. Were there some extenuating circumstances in regards to why this kind of got to be where it is today? And maybe you can't answer that because it was probably a little bit before you were maybe on board. I'm not sure. Like, I understand that there were some issues in regards to people didn't have another residence to go to, and it was pushed out because that another building wasn't built, because I think someone was moving into a condo, so they asked for extensions. And so I think... like I say, it's extenuating circumstances. This is a one-of situation, or maybe two-ofs. So I just wonder if you can help me out a little bit on this.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. That appears to be a correct recollection of the early history of this. The initial proponent that we dealt with, and then the resolution that was included in the Planning Committee minutes reflects a further proponent. However, as I noted in the previous question, we've had no further correspondence from that individual about the project, whether they're still involved in the property or anything like that since that time.
Okay, thank you very much. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Trail.
Thank you, and I will be supporting this motion. I think we were very clear last planning committee that we had given the proponent an opportunity to work with staff to clarify what the proposal was, and that, you know, it appeared on first glance to be consistent with the neighborhood, but the fact that the proponent has chosen not to liaise with staff, even though I think it was quite clear that was, I mean, at least my expectation as the mover of the motion, You know, to say I'm disappointed is an understatement. So at this point, I think we've already spent far more time on this than, you know, we need to have. And at this point, I think the only right thing to do is just to simply not grant the exemption at all.
All right. Anything further? So I think there are a couple of things here. There's apparently an elderly lady who is probably, you know, the worst impacted by this. Sorry, Councillor Hooper, I'll do exactly that. We didn't put, you know, there were no expectations in here. We might have had personal expectations of the applicant coming forward, but the way the motion reads is if he comes forward and his proposal would be suitable to planning, then they'll say yes, and if it wasn't suitable to planning, they'll say no. Mr. Seaman, your very first report suggested that, you know, that not imposing the interim control bylaw was reasonable in this on this lot, correct?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, that was the opinion that was offered by the planning department, my opinion, and it was based on a specific proposal as well.
So, given that we did not make requirement that over the past week the applicant come forward, if what he's proposing doesn't comply, he's out of luck. Again, there's an elderly lady, that's going to find herself in a very difficult situation. And then on top of that, staff at the get-go said, you know what, guys, this is okay. Go ahead and do it. So I don't know what is stopping us from supporting this. Okay, with that, we'll call the question. All in support? Opposed? Okay, and that motion fails. I think we're understanding why an odd number of councillors is a good thing. Can I have another motion, please? Councillor Hooper, you made eye contact.
Just as written.
Okay, as written. Okay, I'll... question, I need a seconder. Are you seconding that, Councillor Anderson? Questions or comments? Councillor Neal.
Well, my understanding, though, was the planning department had recommended the first application as well, which was Mr. Ballahood's application. So, and, you know, I don't really see a whole lot of reason why Mr. Hoy's application is being preferred over Mr. Ballahood's here. For all we know, this thing's tied up in litigation or something. I don't know, because I remember asking Mr. Ballard if he got his deposit back, and I think the answer was no. So I don't know what's clearly going on with his property. But to me, the bottom line is if this is up for exemption, then every lot down there is up for exemption. So what's the point of having an interim control bylaw? Like, it defeats the whole purpose to me. So... like anybody could be in the same situation. So that's also, so I'm not going to support this as I didn't support it. The committee, I'll ask for a recorded vote on this one. Thank you.
Councillor, questions or comments? So I'd suggest that, you know, if there are legal wranglings, that's between the parties, and not us. How do we find ourselves in this situation? I think if we had approved originally Mr. Ballahood's application, we wouldn't be here. And to the point that every lot, I guess any lot that is covered by the interim control bylaw, people have the right to come forward, and hopefully we'll listen to staff. Staff will give us good advice as to whether we should allow an exemption or not allow an exemption. So I'm gonna. Sticks with the staff's allowance, and I genuinely have a concern for the vendor of the property. Madam Clerk, a recorded vote was requested.
On, excuse me, the item with respect to the interim control bylaw as written. Councillor Neal?
No.
Councillor Trail?
No.
Councillor Ward has declared. Councillor Anderson?
Yes.
Councillor Hooper?
Yes.
Councillor Jones?
No.
Mayor Foster?
Yes. This is reminiscent of I think it was the committee meeting, wasn't it? It was probably planning. Hang on, we're not done, so that motion failed as well. Mr. Seaman, give us a...